with Amari Cooper compared to without, it's a difference of like 35 points. He has a losing record without Amari Cooper in the last few years. So I think that's a big loss. They're going to ask for too much from their wide receivers. Ezekiel Elliott does not have enough left in the tank. The offensive line's not as good. You got McCarthy on the hot seat. The defense overachieved last year. The defense, based off of their turnovers, they added the most value to a defense of any team in the NFL in the last decade. They averaged 2 turnovers per game. They got a bunch of defensive touchdowns. It was the most valuable defense in the NFL in a decade. It's not going to happen this year. So the Cowboys won't be as good. Dak won't be as good. He won't have as many short fields. I say slump for Dak. I think he takes a big step back this season for Dallas.
Good stuff there, Luke. I think I'm with you. All right. Bump or slump, Jalen Hurts.
I always put him in the same camp as Tua. So for the same reasons, I'm going to say bump. There's more room to go up than there is to go down. Now, he wasn't terrible last year. He played pretty well. He got the Eagles to the playoffs, but there's still a lot more room to grow. We saw in the playoff game, he's still wildly inaccurate throwing the football. But Nick Sirianni, in a first-year role as a head coach last year, did a really good job of building a good offense for his young quarterback to help him succeed. Now in year two, you get A.J. Brown in this offense. The offensive line may be the best in the league. So I'm going to say bump for Jalen Hurts. I don't know how big of a bump it is. He's playing for his job. That should probably help him play better. But same idea. Like last year, it wasn't like he put up huge numbers. It's easier to do better than last year than to do worse. He's closer to the floor than he is the ceiling. So I think Jalen Hurts will be better this year. How much better? I don't know. I think by the end of the year, the jury still may be out. Look, the Eagles stockpile draft picks in next year's draft for this very reason, in case Hurts does not do well enough this year and they have to go get a different quarterback. So they're not sold on him yet. But I'm going to say bump for Jalen Hurts. I think he'll do better in year two as a starter.
Nicely said, Luke. Next up, your very own Mr. Kirk Cousins bumper slump.
That's right. I got to go bump. Now, look, when he got COVID last year and had to sit out a couple games, the Vikings had a top 10 offense. So the offense wasn't really the problem last year. The problem is maybe fourth quarters for Kirk Cousins or close games. But I think just bringing in Kevin O'Connell will be a big help. We've seen Sean McVay. We've seen Kyle Shanahan. They get the most out of their quarterbacks. Kevin O'Connell comes from the McVay coaching tree. I'm going to say bump because you go from a defensive coach in Mike Zimmer who did not like Kirk Cousins and a run-first offense to now a new, progressive, young coach who seems to get along with Kirk. He's worked with Kirk before in Washington. They have a relationship. He's an offensive coach, and he's going to be more aggressive. And you're going to be able to unleash some of these weapons, like Irv Smith Jr., who's back healthy this year. Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. KJ Osborne's a nice number 3 wide receiver. Dalvin Cook in the passing game. They tried to address the offensive line a little bit. I'll say bump for Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to tell you, right, he's going to go win the MVP, but I do think he'll play better than last year, maybe get the Vikings to the playoffs, so I'll say bump.
I think I'm with you there too, Luke. He's well set up. All right, next up, the big villain, bump or slump, Aaron Rodgers.
This is another tough one because I think most people would say, right, you lose Davante Adams, he's going to have a down year. A lot of times when you go back and you look, quarterbacks or teams do better after they lose their star wide receiver. Every team got better the very next year after losing Randy Moss. Same idea with Terrell Owens, Ocho Cinco. Go back and look. Their teams have better records the next year. It's the old Patrick Ewing theory. You no longer have to force the football to one guy. Rodgers was forcing the football a lot to Devontae. He's the only guy he trusted. I think Rodgers, what we think we know about him, he's going to have a real chip on his shoulder. He's going to try to prove people wrong this year. I think he's in for a big year. I don't think he's going to win the MVP for a third straight year, like big Aaron Rodgers fan Trent believes. But I do think he'll be just fine without Davante Adams. He may get off to a little bit of a slow start as he learns his other receivers. He may have to lean on some guys he's not used to leaning on. He's a big trust guy. But I think Rodgers is out to prove all the naysayers wrong this year, and he'll be forced to do some different things. Instead of forcing the football in one direction, actually throw to an open receiver, forced to trust some other guys, take what the play gives him. I think Rodgers, I'll say bump. I mean, he is the MVP, so it's hard to do better than that. He's the defending MVP. But I think he'll be better than people may expect this year. I don't think Davante Adams will be as big of a loss as many believe.
Good stuff. I think I'm with you there, too. All right, really big one here. Bump or slump, Tom Brady.
Everybody's down on the Buccaneers right now. He just lost another offensive lineman. They got some real question marks on their 3 interior offensive linemen from last year to this year. And we know for Brady, the old cliche is how do you beat him? You got to get pressure up the middle on him. So now there's a concern. No Bruce Arians. Gronk's gone. Changes on the offensive line. Brady's another year older. But I say this all the time. I will go down in the sinking ship. The Tom Brady ship. I will sink with it. I'm the last one to jump off. We're all at the Tom Brady party. You're checking out. You think he's done. That's fine. I'll be the last one there. I'll clean up after you all leave, and I'll turn off the lights on my way out. So because of that, I'm going to say bump for Tom Brady. Until he retires, I'm never selling my Brady stock. I know there's a lot of concerns. Gronk's gone. Godwin's coming back from an ACL. Antonio Brown's gone. Offensive line questions. But they did bring in Kyle Rudolph, who could be like the next Gronk, former Pro Bowler. They did bring in Julio Jones, who maybe will be like Antonio Brown. Tom Brady still has his offensive coordinator. And by the way, he's still Tom Brady. So I'll say bump. I think Brady, if this is his final year, I think he will try to go out on top. I'll say bump for Tom Brady. He'll be just fine. You can't doubt the guy. He'll be fine this year.
Good points there, Luke. Just a couple more here. Bump or slump. Big one here. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, this is another tough one. I mean, you can't do much worse than last year. He was playing injured last year. So just by simply being healthy, you should see a bump in production from Baker. I am going to say bump. I think the Panthers could be a better fit. Do they have as much talent as Cleveland? Maybe not. Is Ben McAdoo as good of an offensive coach as Kevin Stefanski? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm still not sold on Stefanski, and he was the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. That's why I'm unsold on him. But for Baker, you get Christian McCaffrey, assuming he's healthy. That's a big boost. And I think Ben McAdoo is a better fit for him. I laid this out in the show yesterday, but McAdoo's offense is more similar to what Baker was doing in college compared to Kevin Stefanski. So you get back to some of your roots. You get back to what's worked for you. They're going to be more aggressive, I imagine, than the Browns were with Baker Mayfield. And he may have to be forced to throw more, which, like Trevor Lawrence, could be a good thing. It helps the quarterback get into rhythm. It gives them some trust. And Baker, I love the move that Baker gave up money to be in Carolina. And he has a chance to make up some of that money in incentives, but all the incentives are based on the team, how many games the team wins, not necessarily personal stuff. So he's kind of banking on himself this year, heading into free agency, right? He's counting on himself to have a good year. I love that. So I like the chip on the shoulder. I like the fit in Carolina. I like a hungry Baker Mayfield. He will face his former team week one. I think that sets him up well. I'll say a bump from Baker. Plus, he's just healthy this year. Should be, knock on wood. So I'll say Baker Mayfield plays better this year than he did last year.
Good stuff, Luke. Huge year for Mr. Mayfield. All right, final one, and another interesting one. Mr. Kyler Murray, bump or slump?
It depends when the new Call of Duty is coming out, I guess. I'm going to say bump. The Cardinals have gotten better each year. Now, Kyler did get the big contract. There's always a concern once you get the contract and he got a lot of guaranteed money. You know, how inspired are you? We already have the reports that he's not a big film study guy. All right, so now that he got his contract, is he going to work, you know, less as hard as he was the years past? But I'm going to say bump because I think it's another year for him with Cliff Kingsbury. They've gotten better every year. And I think what may help is you have DeAndre Hopkins going to miss the first few games, but therefore he may be more rested for the second half of the season when the Cardinals usually slide. So maybe that helps them avoid that second half slide. Plus, we have the pressure on Murray now. We have this talking point this week about, you know, his study habits. Similar to Rodgers, similar to Baker. I think there's a chip on the shoulder of Kyler Murray, even though he just got that contract. I think he will continue to take another step forward. I'll say bump for Kyler Murray. But it better be, because if he is slumping, we know the talking points around him all football season. We'll just be mocking him because of his video game habits and because of this contract clause that has since been removed, but still served its purpose, getting it out there that Kyler is not much of a studier. Maybe he's going to study more this year. Maybe he'll be even better. I'll say bump for Kyler Murray. I don't know if I feel great about it, but I do think he'll be better than a year ago. And that's about half the league for quarterbacks. Bump or slump, what to expect out of them in 2022. Speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of Baker Mayfield, when we come back, the Carolina Panthers, are they doing things all wrong with their quarterbacks? We'll get to that next. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, are the Panthers doing it all wrong with their quarterbacks? It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. And that's a pretty good solo there. You usually don't think of Steely Dan for some sort of guitar, or even in their case, maybe like some sort of keyboard solo. But that's not bad. I think you also got a sitar in there. Maybe that's what that solo's on. That's a good, never really sat down and paid attention to listen to it. That's a good solo right there from Steely Dan. Hey, if you ever missed anything from the show, such as last segment where we played a game, if you will, of bump or slump, looking at quarterbacks in the NFL, and whether they're due for a bump in production or a slump this year, you can find that on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. We'll talk more about quarterbacks in just a moment with the Panthers. The Panthers quarterback battle lingers on, but are they doing it all wrong? We'll get to that in just a moment. Also earlier, we checked in with Lou but had some connection issues as we were talking about a story from last hour with a wide receiver in Nebraska, DeColdis Crawford, who got a name, image, and likeness deal with an air conditioning company because of that great name. Well, Lou's back with us. You can always join the conversation on the phones, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. Hopefully no issues this time. Lou, what's going on? How are you?
Real good. Okay. So right. Some years ago, back in the 70s, there was a defensive back at Nebraska whose name was and maybe still is Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr., last name M-O-N-D-S, played for Nebraska and had a brief NFL career.
Now that's a wonderful name. Was that his real? That was his birth name? Wonderful Terrific.
Yes, I looked him up and I heard about him when I was in Iowa visiting relatives. My mother's from Iowa and I still had relatives there. And I went to visit and they said, "Hey, you're a Nebraska football fan." I go, "Yeah." They go, "Well, a guy who played community college football or junior college." In that area of Iowa, a place called Indian Hills, I think, and he went to Nebraska. They recruited him and found him, and he went there. And my aunt told me, "The guy's name is Wonderful Mons." And I said, "You're kidding." He goes, "No." So he had a career at Nebraska and briefly in the NFL. And then just recently I remembered his name because you were talking about Nebraska football players, interesting name. So I looked him up, and it took me a while to remember the name exactly.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that his middle name was Terrific.
Yeah, even better. And he's a junior, so there must be somebody else with the same name.
I didn't go that far into my research. I just briefly looked it up. But there's a name for you.
Absolutely, I love it. Something about Nebraska, apparently. Appreciate it, Lou. Wonderful, Terrific Mons Jr. You better be a good football player with that name. Right, if you're a parent and you're going to name your kid Wonderful Terrific, it's great. You love your child. You want him to have a wonderful, terrific name. But they better do some wonderfully terrific things in life. Because otherwise, you're just setting them up for all sorts of jeers. And again, the jokes would write themselves, just like DeColdis. Now advertising for DeColdis Air Conditioning in Nebraska. The company named SOS Heating and Cooling. I mean, that's just perfect. So we have Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr. as well. But again, he's a junior, so you have to have another Wonderful Terrific. And then they thought, "Oh, this was just so wonderful and terrific, we got to name our kid this as well." Now, how about this? Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr. is also the father of Wonderful Terrific Mons III, who played minor league baseball, apparently. So it just keeps going. So we've had at least three in this family tree. Wonderful Terrific Mons. We're now down to at least the third. Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr., the second, and this becomes a real tongue twister, played at Nebraska, as Lou mentioned, was drafted in 1976 and spent 3 years in the NFL. Check that, 1 year in the NFL with the Niners. But that was sandwiched around years in the CFL. He played 4 years in the CFL, actually won the Grey Cup Championship in 1976. How about that? Retired after the 1979 football season. Or just stop playing. Opportunities dried up, had to retire. His unusual name was originally given to his father when, after his grandparents had several girls, a son was finally born, and his father thought it was wonderful, just terrific. Ha, I like that. So the grandparents the originators of the name Wonderful Terrific Mons, they had all sorts of girls. And if, you know, this is always the conversation that when a guy is going to be a father for the first time, of course, you're going to love your child no matter what. But if we're all being honest, right, every guy, I have friends that are having kids now, they always say, I hope it's a boy, right? Because you want that boy that you grew up playing sports with, they'll grow up playing sports with you in the driveway. You'll watch sports with them. You have a sports fan now to watch the games with. You could just connect with them. I imagine women maybe prefer to have girls. Men may prefer to have boys. No matter what child you have, you're going to love them. They're your kid. But when you're getting ready to have that kid, if we're all being honest, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, I hope it's a boy. Get to teach him how to play basketball, football, baseball, whatever. Have him grow up to be a Clemson fan just like me, or a South Carolina fan, Citadel fan, whatever it is. If you ever daydream of being a father, that's kind of what you daydream of. Those same experiences you had maybe with your father. So you have this guy in Florida having all sorts of daughters. He's thinking, oh, man, when am I finally going to have a son that can carry on the sports traditions? And eventually they had a boy, and he said, wow, this is just wonderful. Wonderful, Terrific Mons. And then he had a boy, named him the name, and so on and so forth. We have three editions of Wonderful, Terrific Mons. How about that? That'd be a great name. Football, for whatever reason, and we did the all-name team last summer heading into the football season. Football always gives just the best names. I don't know what it is, but we always get great names from specifically college football. I guess just because the number of players. There's so many guys that play college football that, you know, the chances of getting a unique name are just increased. Growing up, I don't think I had any weird names or, like, unique names I grew up with. There was one kid I went to middle school with, I think only middle school, and his name was, it was Justin. And then you always had either, like, Justin Time, or there was a wrestler, Justin Credible, right? Justin plays well with a lot of names. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was, what was his? I don't think it was Time. We had a kid in middle school, I can't remember his name, that it was Justin something that played off of it. Just in blank. May have been Time. Just in Time. That may have been a kid I went to school with for a couple of years. And we'd always hear the name over the announcements. I mean, maybe it was just the principal, like, having fun. But they'd always page them to the office, and we'd always hear that name. And I can't remember now. It may have been Just in Time. Something along those lines. A buddy of mine always claimed that he grew up with a girl named Adore Bell. Last name Bell, first name Adore. You know, like, I adore that person. Adore Bell. You put it together, obviously, it's a doorbell. And we never believed him. He claimed he went to school with a doorbell and somebody named Miami Dolphin. Now, Miami Dolphin, they were both females. They were both girls. Miami Dolphin grew up in a family of Dolphins fans, and their last name was Dolphin. Now, I don't know if they became Dolphins fans because of the last name or what. This was up in Connecticut. It's not like they lived in Miami as Dolphin fans. So I don't know how they became Dolphin fans, maybe just Dan Marino. And they had a daughter. And I guess because they're such big Dolphins fans, they said, we got to do it. We're Dolphins fans. It's our last name. We got to name her Miami. Right? She goes through life probably, it's pronounced Miami. But Miami Dolphin was her name. And I never believed my buddy until he showed me his yearbook finally. After years of he would tell these stories and we'd say, you're lying. Why are you making up these names? And eventually, after like 4 years of knowing this kid, he finally showed me his high school yearbook. And sure enough, there was a doorbell. There was Miami Dolphin. The only one I had was we had a teacher, Kelly Kelly, but I think she was married. But that's another one. You see that from time to time. People have kids, and they just name them the first thing, the same first name as last name. Charles Charles. Like, what are you doing? If your last name is a first name, you can't name the kid the first name. Can't do it. Adore Bell, Miami Dolphin, those are some of the ones that I didn't grow up with, but buddy of mine did. Wonderful, Terrific Mons. Anderson, did you grow up with any kids that had very unique names that stand out?
You know, I don't think so. Yeah. I think one of the funniest ones, I knew a kid named Guy. His name was just Guy, G-U-I.
I know a guy, yep.
yeah, I think that's probably the most unique one I'm remembering. I'll have to go through the yearbook tonight and figure it out.
That's right. Yeah, I don't think I had any too crazy ones. Like I said, we had a teacher, they would always page her too, Kelly Kelly. But I think, again, that was through marriage. Which if your first name's Kelly, sorry, he may be the most wonderful guy in the world. You can't marry somebody with the last name Kelly. It's like Julia Gulia in The Wedding Singer. You can't marry him just because of the name. You're going to be known as Julia Gulia the rest of your life? You can't do it. And he ended up being a jerk anyways. Yeah, we have a family friend named Guy. He actually played in the NFL. I think it's I don't know if it's his birth name. It may be a nickname that he goes by. Right? Are people born named Guy? I don't know. But that's how I always refer. I always refer to people as guy, anyways. Right? That's so it would be it'd be perfect for this person, for this guy. When we come back, we'll get to the Panthers. I could talk about unique names all afternoon. But when we come back, we'll get to the Panthers and their quarterback situation. Are they handling it all wrong? We'll talk about it next. It's the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Are the Panthers going about the quarterback situation all wrong? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We were talking about unique names last segment. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734, to text the show. Somebody on the text line said they went to high school with twins, London and Brooklyn, and their last name was Bridges. So you had London Bridge or London Bridges and Brooklyn Bridges. Again, if you do something, that's got to be intentional. Right, that's got to be like a parent with a sense of humor. They just think like that would be cool to name a kid after the Brooklyn. Their last name's Bridge. Like, yeah, we might as well name them after popular bridges. But twin girls, I assume girls. I don't, maybe not. Could be boys. London Bridge, Bridges. The S kind of ruins it. London Bridges and Brooklyn Bridges. When you name a child something like that, you're just setting them up to be teased their whole life. Hey, the Carolina Panthers, they have their quarterback battle going on between Baker and Sam Darnold. And we've been talking about this on the show. I think Baker will win out. I think he should. I think he is the better quarterback. I think he starts week one. I think that's why you bring him in. But here was Brady Quinn on his radio show, which you can hear on our sister station over on Fox Sports Radio. And Brady, who played the position in the NFL, does bring up an interesting point where the Panthers, they've been selling this all along, that it's a true quarterback battle. They are splitting reps. The better man, right? Let the best man win. Matt Rhule said this week, it's not my job to pick the quarterback. It's on them, whichever one plays better. All sounds good and well, but I like this perspective from Brady Quinn, who's been through it before. Here's what he said about why that could be a little bit of a concern, why it could be maybe the wrong way to do things for the Panthers. Here was Brady Quinn's breakdown.
When you've got a position that's so difficult and relies on the synchronization of so many pieces, your offensive line, hearing your cadence, and the way in which you call the cadence, you know, the wide receivers and your timing and rhythm and how you throw the ball and the type of ball you throw, and then vice versa, for you to get a feel for how they run in and out of their breaks, you know, their body language, because you're throwing that football long before they, or you should be, before they get out of their cut. Like, all those things take so many reps and time and practice that I just think you're short-selling whoever's going to go in there and play. It's not that I don't think Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield could go in and play well. It's just that you're giving them less of a chance to do that because you're not giving them quite as much practice. Now, Sam Darnold's been there, you know, with these guys, so he should have a much better feel. But if you want to start off the season week one with Baker – I'd be looking at it thinking like, well, dude, I need all the reps I can get. I got to catch up. Like, I didn't get OTAs and minicamp with this team. You know, I'm still learning the offense. I'm still, you know, getting down how we run this system here. All that stuff takes time. So I've never been a fan of it for quarterbacks, because if you're not preparing one guy, right, and you're like, oh, our quarterback competition, we're preparing two guys for it. So, like, well, no, you're not preparing anyone for it.
Brady Quinn on his show yesterday. And that's a good point. It goes back to the old cliche of if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. And so when you're splitting the reps, it sounds all good and well, like you're giving each guy a fair shot. On day one, Sam Darnold was the first team reps. Baker was on the second team, and then they flip-flopped it yesterday. And I imagine maybe they'll go back and forth each day, at least to start, until one guy seems to take that step forward. But it's a fair point by Brady Quinn that, look, you're on a tight schedule. Baker came in here late. Yes, Sam Darnold was here last year, but now you have a new offensive coordinator. So while Darnold may at least have the advantage in that he knows his teammates, he knows who he's throwing the football to, he's also learning a whole new offense, and you're splitting the time with the two of them. They're splitting the number of reps. Instead of, if you have a true number one quarterback, he may not be getting 100% because you still give your backup some reps to have them be prepared, but you're certainly getting more than 50-50. It's not an even split. So you're almost doing yourself a disservice. As you try to make things even and pick one or the other, you're almost doing yourself a disservice where neither are as strong as they should be. We're sure it's a fair competition. You're giving both guys the opportunity to win out. You really want to see which one is truly better. It's the fairest way to maybe determine. But while you're doing that, instead of getting to 100%, now you're going to be choosing between two guys that may be at 75%. And they're both learning a new offense, and in the case of Baker, right, learning a new team as well and teammates. And Baker came into this whole thing late, just a couple of weeks ago. It could feel like you're drinking out of a fire hose. Remember, Cam Newton said in regards to the Patriots, that whole season he never really grasped it. He was there for a whole year, was the starter, at least when he didn't have COVID, and he said, you know, I was still always working through things. It's a lot more complex than maybe you would even imagine, trying to get the hold of a playbook and an offense and be the leader of a new team. So it's a fair point that I didn't really think of from Brady Quinn, but he's been through it before. When you're splitting reps like that, I mean, you're just making it more challenging on both guys. And whoever you pick, whether it's Baker or Sam, you're going to go into week one, and they may not be as prepared as if you just made your choice now and said, okay, Baker's our guy, you get all the reps, and hopefully you show us you should have this job by the time we get to week one. And then he truly is prepared. You're almost putting yourself behind the eight ball regardless of your decision. It'd be like if you and your job were asked to do multiple things. Right? You had to divide your time between two different roles. Maybe at the company, you lost somebody in a certain role and they haven't replaced them yet. So now you're in charge of PR, and you also got to go out and still do your sales. You're filling in a different void. Well, you're divvying up your time. You can't commit the same amount of time, energy, or resources to your normal task. And so you may be able to get by doing both jobs. You may do a fine job, but you'd do even better if you could focus all of your energy on just simply sales or just importing instead of exporting. To use a Seinfeld reference, right? Why try to do both when you can focus all on just one and be even better at that? And it's similar here. Like, why split the reps between two guys that, sure, they both may be boosted. Say they're both at 50% right now. Okay, by September, they may both increase to 75% capacity. So now you have two quarterbacks to choose from, but neither one is at 100%. Is as good as they should be or could be at that time. I do think Baker will win out. And honestly, look, I appreciate giving the opportunity, every opportunity to Sam, and the fact that it may truly be a 50-50 competition. But I don't think you make that move to bring in Baker Mayfield unless he's expected to be the guy. I don't think you draft a quarterback and you bring in Baker Mayfield unless you're already out on Sam Darnold. And Baker has accomplished more than Sam. So if you make that trade and bring in Baker, it shouldn't be like, all right, you still have to go earn the job. No, you brought him in. It should be to, okay, you're our guy. Let's get you ready for week one. So I do think in that sense the Panthers are doing themselves a little bit of a disservice here. You saw Darnold last year. You know what he brings to the table. Roll with Baker. See what he can do this year. And if not, well, Darnold still there as the backup, you know, midseason. What's also interesting is how we wound up with Baker. You know, you're paying Sam Darnold more if that plays a role. But, like, for example, if the GM wanted Baker Mayfield but not necessarily Matt Rhule, so then the GM goes out and makes the trade and brings in Baker, but for Matt Rhule, it's still his guy. It's still his team. Like, he makes the final call, or at least how practices run. He's making those decisions. You know, to make another reference to Moneyball, a movie I rewatched for the 1,000th time while it was on TV this past weekend, same idea where, Billy Beane built his team to be a certain way, but then he clashed with the manager because the manager was saying, hey, this is still my team. I make the lineup. So you may bring in a certain guy, but I don't want him to be our starting first baseman, so he's going to be on the bench. Similar here. Like, Matt Rhule may say, hey, I know you went out and traded for Baker, but I like Sam Darnold more. And so you give Sam every chance. Or if it was more led by Matt Rhule and he wanted to bring in Baker, well, then you would just assume that Baker is the guy and he's the starter from day one. Coach wanted to go get him. You go get him. Now he's your guy. So I do think it's interesting that it's an interesting point and perspective from Brady Quinn and the fact that they are splitting reps. We'll see how things play out. Which quarterback truly wins out, I do think it'll be Baker, and I think it should be. That's why you went out and you got Baker. If you were 100% pleased with Sam, you know, you probably wouldn't have fired the offensive coordinator to make him the fall guy. Something obviously was wrong. You wouldn't have gone out and drafted a quarterback. You wouldn't have tried to necessarily get Deshaun Watson. You maybe would have committed to Darnold beyond this year. You wouldn't have traded for Baker. You've done nothing in the past year that would show that you believe Darnold could be the guy moving forward. And then there's also this of the fans at training camp there up in Spartanburg at Wofford. And every time the quarterbacks, I said this before in the show, that it seems like the Panthers are kind of driving home that, these two guys, they're good. They're friendly. They're good to go. They're on the same page. Because every day they're putting out videos of the two quarterbacks, and maybe quarterbacks always walk out on the field together, but Darnold and Baker walking out onto the field together every day. And every day the response from the fans that go to training camp are always rooting for Baker. Here's how it sounded the other day as they made their way to the field. Listen to the audio. Nobody's calling for Sam Darnold. All the fans want Baker Mayfield. Here's how it sounded up at Wofford.
Baker! 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 Hey, what's up, Baker? Good luck. We'll see you, baby.
Right, everything for Baker. No, nothing about Sam Darnold, who was walking right next to him. Maybe it's because he's the new guy in town, but I think Panther fans are more excited about Baker. You know what Sam Darnold brings. Baker, though, could bring a little more optimism. I also think Baker's a more likable guy for certain people. Like, Baker may come off as more of a jerk than Sam Darnold. Sam's always carried himself well. He's always taken the high road on things. He's never gotten himself in trouble. But, you know, sometimes you appreciate the outspoken jerk that is a Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's perceived to be a jerk. I'm not calling him a jerk. Some people think he is. He's been outspoken, maybe even ran himself out of town a little bit in Cleveland there, on and off the field. But you kind of like that guy that comes in, you know, has a little some moxie to himself, has that chip on his shoulder. He's a little rough around the edges. You appreciate that from your quarterback. Adds a little edge to your team instead of Sam Darnold, who is just kind of, you know, like, meh. Right? You like, don't really know he's in the room, and that could be a good thing. But for football fans, and you talk about your quarterback, like you want your quarterback, especially a team that had Cam Newton, you want your quarterback to have a little pizzazz to him. And Baker brings that more than Sam. Plus, he's the new guy in town, so I think the fans, there's just that obvious connection to Baker that it brings optimism. You know what Sam can or can't do. Baker, I don't know, maybe he'll be the missing piece this year. But the fans obviously want Baker Mayfield. I think Baker brings more excitement, more energy. I think he's just a better quarterback. I think he should be the starter. Maybe they shouldn't be splitting reps too long between these guys. I've gone to training camp, by the way, before. I don't know. Maybe you have. Maybe you enjoy it. Granted, I didn't go to my favorite team's training camp. I went to NFL training camp. I didn't go to the Vikings training camp. Maybe that'd be different. I think training camp is so boring. I watch these clips of these quarterbacks going out into the field and fans, you know, cheering them on like we just played there. I'm sorry. I don't want to put down certain fans. Maybe you live in town, right? You live in Spartanburg. There's nothing else to do in Spartanburg. Maybe you go over to Wofford to go see the Panthers. To me, training camp is so boring. And I've always said I think football is the most boring of the practices. Maybe it's just me. Basketball, I think, is intriguing. Baseball is pretty boring. It's just like batting practice and taking ground balls, but it's very similar to the game, at least. Now, you see guys hit the ball. That's kind of fun. I don't know. Football, and I've been to a lot of football practices. I do it in these next couple of weeks, I'll start getting out to football practice. I go to plenty of football practice. I stand over by the side, and it's like, this is kind of a waste of time. They're kind of boring. So for those going out to the training camp, right, cheering on Baker, like, I don't know. You must be excited to see the new guy because training camp to me was always kind of boring. We were talking about names earlier. Guy is short for Gaetano, of course. I couldn't think of what it was. I grew up with a Gaetano. He just went by Gaetano. But Guy, short for Gaetano. All right. So we were talking about names before. Knowing somebody named Guy. Maybe short for Gaetano. Nice Italian name. Coming up, we'll get back to our conversation from earlier of which college football teams can actually win a championship this year. Plus, for Clemson, was it good or bad that they were picked to win the ACC? We'll get to that next hour. And we have to celebrate National Chili Dog Day. It was yesterday. We'll celebrate a day late. And today has some interesting national holidays as well. Plus, we got to get to our persona non grata. If we have time, some thoughts on Zion Williamson's contract, how it relates to Kyler Murray, and a whole lot more. One final hour to go in the week. Hour 3 coming up next. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.